I don't give a damn whether the client understands that that's worth anything. It's the way I want to live my life. I want to make beautiful things, even if nobody cares.
You are listening to Creatives Radio by Logo Inspirations. In this podcast, we tap into the minds of the most influential personalities in the creative space. My name is Jonathan Rudolph, and welcome to the show. Today's episode is brought to you by Skillshare. Skillshare is the Netflix of online learning, with over 23,000 online classes to help you grow your brand. These classes range from design to business to technology and much more. Go to logoinspirations.co/skillshare to get 2 months free of Skillshare Premium. Hi everyone, thank you so much for investing your time in this episode. Today I'm talking to Laura Pohl. Laura is a Cuban graphic designer based in LA. And as a young kid, she used to draw the doors for her grandpa, who was an architect. And the satisfaction of creating and bringing design to life was instilled in her at an early age. Introduced to graphic design in 2011, she was working at a print shop doing color separation with her friend Omar, and he was doing his homework on a branding project. And when she saw this, she fell in love with what he was doing. Like, she was so intrigued by the project, she wanted to help him design the identity and logo. The very next day, she signed up to study graphic design, and prior to this, she had studied pre-med, and organic chemistry was definitely not feeding her hunger for creativity. Today, she works for Apple as the head of design department at TBWA Media Arts Lab. We talk about how TBWA Media Arts Lab found her, working in a high-end agency, how she started her freelance studio Olio, font creation, and working on a design project for Mike Tyson, and much more. So let's get into the show. Before we get into the show, it would mean so much if you could take a screenshot of wherever you're listening to the podcast and tag Laura at Laura Pohl. That's Laura, P-O-L, and tag me at Logo Inspirations and post it on Instagram stories. What's one thing that people don't know about you?
I'm Cuban.
Okay.
I was born in Cuba, came here when I was, came to Miami when I was 12 years old, and then Miami to LA. Now I'm based out of LA, but yeah.
Sweet. Cool. So tell us a little bit more about yourself and what's your story?
Well, I'm Cuban. I just turned 30 years old. I initially never knew I wanted to do design. I was never exposed to design in Cuba, such like a communist, you know, like really monitored country. There's not a lot of like propaganda other than like newspapers and stuff like that. But, you know, like advertising and design language, it's not something that's necessarily taught. There's a lot of architecture and other type of design, but not necessarily like graphic design. So I had no idea what it was. I had no idea that you could do these things on computers. And I was introduced to it, 2011, like what coding was, and I kind of fell in love with it and just went to school, and it was all I did, just breathe, eat, design, and, you know, it's helped me advance a lot fairly quickly, you know, when that's all you do. So that's.
Do you remember how you were introduced to it? Like, what was it that sparked that inspiration for design?
So I remember I was working at a print shop at the time. Sorry about that. That's email.
Okay.
I was working at a print shop doing color separation. I always knew how to use the programs because I always had an interest in photography. So I learned how to use Photoshop. I had no idea what proof of design were, or, you know, like the strategy and concepting aspects of design. So I remember I was working at a print shop with my friend Omar, and he was doing homework during work hours. And I look at his screen and I'm like, what are you doing? And then he's like, I'm doing this project for school. And I'm like, what do you mean? What's the project about? And he explained to me what kind of like a brief introduction to branding and what the project was. And I remember telling him, like, can I help you with your homework? Because like, this is, I think I could do this, you know? And it was just like love at first sight. After that, I was like, okay, I need to start going to school like right now. So then the next day I just went and signed up for iSchool. Like it was very like automatic. Prior to that, I had started going to FIU for pre-med.
Mm-hmm.
Organic chemistry killed me. I was like, nope, not doing that anymore. So yeah, that's my story with design. My grandpa was in architecture. He was an architect, and he used to do a lot of furniture design as well. So in that sense, I was introduced to design early on. He used to let me do the doors for him. So I used to draw the doors of the houses he was making, and he would actually make them, you know? So at an early age, I always had the satisfaction of like creation and seeing something that like I thought in my head come to life.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was something that was instilled in me at a very early age. So I loved that. Yeah.
Cool. So what happened after school? Did you go look at design jobs right after?
As soon as I started understanding what branding was, I was already knew how to use the programs. I started doing a lot of freelance, like small scale stuff, you know, and I got pretty good at it. Had a bunch of like, you know, like local clients, did work, like ongoing work for, you know, like a few companies that needed like real estate, like, you know, like brochures and booklets and, you know, branding. And
do you remember your first logo?
My first logo. Shit, that's a hard one. Yes, I think I made a logo for myself. So I could like have business cards and start, you know, giving things out. Or actually, it might have been that logo I did for my friend Omar for his homework. I think that was it.
That's sweet. And you had never designed a logo before?
Never. Yeah, it was pretty cool. I was just like, oh. So it's just like abstracting something, like, you know, like conceptually, I was like, this is so cool. I just kind of fell in love with it right away. And then I started working with a small design studio out here called Bloom Miami. They do a lot of brand activation. So it's actually like spatial branding and building like structures and fabrication. So it was really cool because it was like that materializing actual like brand assets into like real spaces, you know, like three-dimensional tangible things. So that was really cool because I got to like understand how to, you know, like work, like bring something to life in a more of like live, you know, space, I would say. And they also did a lot of architectural branding and interior design and stuff like that. So it was a really like broad spectrum of work in that area, but I really enjoyed it. It was fun. And then I got contacted by TBWA Media Arts Lab, which is where I'm at now, working advertising partners for Apple. So,
oh, wow.
How
did they find you?
Online? I don't know. I have no idea how people find me. It's funny because, you know, like people always ask me, I'm like, how do you, you know, I'm like, I just fell in love with what I did and that's all I did. And so projects got out there and, you know, like, word of mouth, like, you know, like some people enjoyed working with me, some clients didn't, you know, that's normal, there's people on people, but it was just a matter of I guess I got lucky because I got really dedicated to doing what I love.
Cool. Yeah. What's it like working with Apple?
It's challenging, it's fun, it's very hectic, it's inspiring, you know, it's stimulating. So it's such a global brand, you know, that when you do something, it goes everywhere, you know. And you know, like I never dreamed that I would be doing what I do. So it's at such a young age as well, you know, like it's such a great opportunity. And I feel very lucky that I get to do what I do and work with the people that I do. It's like the smartest people in the industry, you know. It's like I walk into that place and it's just like such smart people, you know.
Cool. So is this based inside the Apple headquarters or is it somewhere?
No, it's based in Los Angeles. Okay. Yeah. Headquarters at Apple are up in San Jose.
Cool, cool.
Yeah.
Sweet. What led to Olio Studio?
So, you know, I've always had my, I think always taken on freelance as a, especially I think when you work in-house for one brand, mm-hmm. you know, for a few years, like you just need something on the side that, you know, gets your creative juices flowing, especially, you know, something that I get to, a place where I get to try things that are outside of like necessarily like the Apple aesthetic or, you know, their way of thinking, and I get to experiment, and then it gives me kind of like a fresh perspective to even bring back to, you know, other projects or other things that I'm doing. So I always did a little bit of that on the side, and I think I started getting a little bit more serious about it as of late, and I just wanted something that stayed separate from my name, just because I don't want to mix like agency work with like just design work, you know, that is just like pure design work, and I really wanted to, you know, and eventually I think every designer's dream or every person is at some point to like venture out on their own and really focus and specialize on like one thing, you know, that they really like. And I think Olio, it's my attempt at that. And let's see how it goes, you know. So far, so good.
Cool. Do you see yourself going with Olio full time?
I think I'm not sure. It depends, you see. I think I really like the... I think if I went full time with that right now, I would miss the quick pace of advertising, you know, like such like quick turnarounds. But I think at some point, sure, yeah, when I'm tired and I want something a little bit more like slow, sure, yeah, I could see that, but not necessarily right now, you know.
Cool. Going back to Apple, like working with a big brand like that, do they allow you to become really creative, or are there constraints?
I think every client you work with has constraints. It's a fine race and a fine like balance of, you know, you have a budget, you have production realities, and then you also have, you know, like product realities, and then you have your creative mind. So it's like you want to do work that's impactful, but you also need to do work that's like important for the brand, that has a good, you know, like return, that it's you're putting brand values, you know, in the foreground of whatever you're doing. So I mean, I get to push stuff sometimes that's, you know, fun, but then again, you know, it's sometimes it's like, yeah, we have, you know, like 2 months to make this come to life, and it's something that'll take six, so it's unfortunately, you know, kind of dies along the way because you just can't. But it's fun, you know. It's for the most part, yeah, I get to do cool stuff, you know.
So you're involved in the big campaigns with Apple?
Yeah. Sweet. Yeah. Yeah, get to touch a lot of things in a year. It's fun, you know. Get to go across like everything. It's pretty cool.
Nice. What advice would you give to designers who are looking to create a studio like yours, like on the side, to find clients?
You know, I think you can be lazy. I think that's the first thing, you know. And I think it's kind of like being really detail-oriented with every phase of the project, you know. From the brief, from like the first time you start touching something, the research phase, the, you know, like making kind of like informed decisions, you know, like not arbitrary stylistic decisions, like design needs to be like informed. And it goes to presentation, you know, as well. I think a big part of it, it's like sometimes you have such a good project in your hands and you don't present it the right way, or you don't put it out there the right way, and you don't explain the process the right way, and it loses so much of like its substance, you know, because people want to see thinking especially clients, what I've learned, I mean, you're always going to have the clients that it's like, oh, this is what's in right now, so I want something like this, you know, but that's not necessarily the client you want to take on. You want to take on clients that like understand design. And if, you know, if it's a big client that doesn't necessarily understand design so much, then it's your job to do the education. And that education is only going to come through showing process, you know? And so I think that part of it, it's what's helped me, you know, like kind of bring in substantial amount of clients and, you know, people that like I'm happy to work with, along with like networking, which is the other, you know, big thing. It's sometimes you partner up with other people that have more of a, you know, like influence in the industry, or, you know more people, or they refer you, and it's, you know, a little bit of both.
Cool. Has that been your biggest platform for getting clients, networking?
Honestly, Behance has really helped me. Yeah, like I think for me, that's kind of like where I started. I'm not big on Instagram. Like I don't like, I'm more involved in the process of like behind the scenes, that like the project is itself and like what it takes. And it's like, I always fall behind, in updating or like keeping something like, I mean, my personal stuff, yeah, cause it's so easy to like just stop and snap a photo. It's kind of like another like part-time job they have to take on the side to like curate that. Yeah, I'm like right now, I'm like a one person team, you know? So it's, I think as things grow, you know, like it'll allow for more of a bandwidth for that, but Behance, to go back to your question, it really helps. Yeah.
I was looking at your Behance profile, and you do a lot of font creation as well.
Yeah, yeah.
How did you get into that?
It started in school. I had a class that we had to make a display font for. And I was like, wait, you can do these things? And then I just started making, I have so many fonts made. I have like 10 fonts that are unreleased that I just like, I hate Spice. The part of like importing from Illustrator to like Glyphs or you know, Font Lab or something like that. And then having to set all the kerning. That's, I can't with that. You see, cause it's like, I don't have, it's so time consuming. And that's the part where I'm like, that's the part that I half-ass. And I'm like, here, if you're designers, you'll figure out how to set type on your own. I'm just going to give you the letters, you know? And yeah, that's my bad. I need to get better at that for sure. It's something I have some dope stuff that I've made that I haven't been able to like put out yet.
You should check it on maybe Creative Market or something.
Yeah. They've reached out to me and Envato Market.
Envato.
Most of them are free. Like I'm like, I made this, use it. You know, like I don't care.
I remember downloading Aqua, I think it was a year ago or 2 years.
Yeah. That's one of my first stuff when I started. Man, I had such a hard time making S's. I got way better now. Like now I can make good S's, but that's the hardest letter form for me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like the geometry behind an S for me, it's like killer. But I finally nailed it a few years back. Yeah.
Cool. So is it created in Illustrator and then imported into another software?
Yeah, so that's how I started. For me, I'm very fluent in Illustrator, and I'm one of those people that I have fallen behind with technology. I'm like, I don't even know how to use Microsoft Word anymore. The only thing I know how to use is like Adobe programs. So if it's not in there, I kind of like fall behind. So it's like, even with Glyphs, it's a really, really, really good app. I just haven't had the chance to like sit down and learn a program. Like I don't have like spare time like that, you know? And so like the easiest way for me is like just design it in Illustrator because it's quicker, and then just import it. But I think time-wise, I may be like messing myself up because I should just be designing Glyphs or like the app itself. Yeah. Once upon a time.
Cool. What's your typical day like as a designer working for the agency and then coming home? Do you work late with Olya?
I work late with both. So that's been like a challenge for me because work at the agency, it's so I don't have a set schedule. you know. Mm-hmm. And I think anyone that works in advertising could probably, you know, yeah. resonate with that.
Another feeling.
Yeah. I don't know what time I'm going to get out, you know. There's times that I'm, like, working on something until 2, 3, 4 in the morning. There's times that, you know, like, the day is slow because we're waiting for client feedback or, you know, like, there's meetings going on. So it's really hard whenever I like, take on something on the side and, like, trying to, like, stay true to, you know, like, deadlines and schedules and stuff like that. It's something that I always try to tell my client ahead, you know. It's like, look, we need a little bit of breathing room because I cannot commit to any hard dates, you know? Obviously, I mean, if you're giving me 3 months, sure. Yeah, I can commit to 3 months, you know? But if when it's something, it's like, oh, can we do this in like 4 or 5 days or, you know, whatever. I'm like, so I always try to like give myself extra wiggle room. And then, you know, if I can deliver before, great. Most times I deliver after. I'm usually like, unfortunately, like a day or two late just because it's how it works. And it's like the only time I actually do have, if I'm not working, agency is like Saturday, Sunday. And it's like, you know, you have life and you have to run errands and, you know, yeah. So it happens. But usually my day would be go to work. I don't know when I get out. When I get out, I get out, go home. Eat. If I have a little bit of time to, you know, design something or, you know, like concept something, definitely, you know, that I'm going to be doing that. But yeah, I do a lot of reading. I do have a morning routine. Yeah. Lodge bread, almond butter toast every day. When I'm in LA, it's the best thing. It gets me going. And reading. That's one thing that I always make time for.
Cool. Nice. Yeah. What's been the project that you're most proud of as a freelancer?
Oh, man. I think it was pretty cool working with Mike Tyson. So we rebranded him. I have a really good friend. It's, you know, he always corrects me whenever he has, like, dope branding projects. I think he trusts me. He's the owner of Stilt Media down here in Miami. His name is... Guido. And so he contacted me. He's like, hey, like, I have a pretty dope, you know, thing coming. So we need to rebrand Mike Tyson. I'm like, what? So that was, you know, like, you never think you're going to get that chance as like, a person, push an icon, you know? So it's cool. Yeah.
Did you get to meet him? Or?
Tonight, I think, hopefully.
Oh, wow.
He's down here for Basel. Been to his office.
Cool. Yeah. So have you presented it yet, or is it?
Yeah. Oh. Everything. It's a link. You want to check it out later. It's some of the projects. Yeah.
Sweet.
I haven't posted about it because, you know, it's like it was done in collaboration with someone else. I'm like, I don't want to blow it up.
Yeah.
Olio and stuff like that. So definitely.
Cool. I'm just going to grab a question from Instagram from one of the followers.
Yeah.
What's the best place for inspiration? This is from Ricardo. And how do you eliminate a mental block?
Travel helps me with mental blocks. Disconnecting from a routine. I think like once you fall. So I'm a person, I need structure and routine to like stay on schedule. Because I'm a little ADHD, like, you know, like I get distracted. So it's like I need structure in order to not procrastinate, right? But when I'm having a mental block, I need to like try something different, whether it be, I don't know, driving somewhere, doing rock climbing. It doesn't necessarily have to be something creative. It just has to be something outside of that, of design, actually, you know? So because, you know, my head already thinks that all the time. So it's like, when I expose myself to something outside of design, I'm thinking design anyway, so I see things differently, or like it brings, you know, inspiration or maybe a solution, a creative solution to something that, you know, I wouldn't have thought about sitting in front of a computer or like looking at, you know, blogs or whatever on the internet. Like, yeah.
Cool. What's been the toughest part about being a designer?
that people don't value design. I mean, some people do. Some people understand it, and some people value it. But I think the hardest part is, you know, like making people understand that.
True. Yeah.
Now, people think, oh, just make it look cool. No, it's not. That's not design. You know, that's, I don't know. That's like fine art or something. Like, you know, like if you want to make something look pretty, sure. Design execution, it'll always, you know, it gets polished and you'll get a good end solution, but. What's important, it's like the strategy behind it, you know, and the thinking. It's you know, functional form kind of situation, and I've had a hard time having people understand that. Yeah, well, some clients, you know.
Cool. How did you describe it to those kind of clients when they didn't see the value?
I think right now I've nailed down my process, and a lot of it has to do with briefing. You know, some people, it depends, because I already know, like, kind of if it's like someone that's coming back to me, like they trust me and they know that, you know, that when I'm giving something to you, it's because I've probably tried everything else before I hand you this, you know. But a lot of gaining that trust is like process, showing I tried this and that, and it didn't look good, or it didn't work, it didn't do the right thing, you know. This is the solution, because I already hit all these corners, you know. Like, I'm not giving you the first thing I make, you know, even though that might be the answer, because you're already trained, but it's just showing process. That's been that. And the other one, a lot of it has been like streamlined now to like the briefing process, you know. It's mm-hmm. like I'm answering your brief.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not here to make, you know, things pretty. You're giving me a brief, and this solution answers your brief. If you want something else, we could do another round. We could, you know, like pay for another round, and it'll be again, but it's not, it, you know, it's like I'm not making any arbitrary decisions when it comes to, you know, the what I'm giving you. So
sweet.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm just gonna change things up a bit. I call this the rapid fire round. It's like quick fire questions.
Okay.
It could be one word or a short sentence.
All right.
What's been one habit that contributes to your success?
This has to be quick. I'm not good at this. A habit.
Take a bit of a time.
Waking up early.
Okay. How yeah. early?
I'm usually up at 5 in the morning, like okay. by myself. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Name one book that you could recommend to the audience and why.
The Untethered Soul by Michael Singer. It has nothing to do with design, but it's an amazing read for understanding how to work with your mind and your thinking process and stuff like that, and how you need to disconnect from it in order to kind of surrender to life and allow life to do its thing, you know? Really great book. Everyone should read it.
Cool. Could you recommend one internet tool or app that you use every day?
An internet tool or app that I use every day. I use VS Code every day. So, I mean, I'm going to be that person
yeah.
that does that. And also the Pantone app, it's great.
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. Oh. Yeah, you pay yearly fee, but it's like you could, if you like something, you could like make color palettes on the go. Like, okay. you know, like something, I see something and I'm like, oh shit, like I need to save these colors. You just snap a photo oh, and like, okay. it's really dope. Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Cool.
If it was your last day on earth, what would be your final meal?
Almond butter toast from Lodge Bread.
I've just started trying almond butter, so I'm getting into it. I drink almond milk.
Yeah.
Normal milk, so yeah.
I love yeah, I do. Lattes. I'm on the fine line between like vegetarian, because I eat my shit once a month at least. But I don't, yeah, I try to not consume any dairy or meat. But almond butter toast, just drizzle a little bit of honey on top and call it a day. But yeah, okay. but it has to be a good bread. Good bread. It's the key.
I'll try that. If you could go back in time and experience one famous event, what would it be and why?
One famous event. Oh, man. I'm going to need a little bit of time for this one.
All good.
You know, I recently watched Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh, me too.
All right.
I have to say that I cried at the end.
Yeah. So, you know that last concert?
Yeah. Wembley.
I wish I would have experienced that. Yeah.
How insane was that?
So good. He did such a good job, that guy.
Yeah. Rami Malek, yeah.
Yeah, it's incredible. I mean, he's amazing on like Mr. Robot and stuff. So it's, but what a it was such a great movie.
It touched me because like I grew up with that kind of music. My dad used to play Queen, Beatles all the time. So
yeah, me too. It's funny. I was in Cuba at the time, but like I knew all the Beatles songs and all the Queen songs, and you know, like I know the entire repertoire. So I was like, you know, that's one of the things that. I guess my parents did try to do. They were really educated me in music, so that was cool.
Yeah, same with my dad. He just played all the oldies, so it was good. It changes your mentality, you know? Listen to good music.
Yeah, it's also an appreciation. I think it helps you with, like, my grandpa too used to play classical music for me all the time.
Okay.
Like, that's what I used to listen to, so I think it really shapes your brain to, like, think differently or, like, appreciate differently, you know?
Cool. I'll ask you another question. What's your favorite Queen song?
Oh, man. I really like We Are the Champions. I know I'd say I really like that one. And I really liked after watching the movie, that scene of when the bassist rides Another One Bites the Dust. Another one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, we're in the middle of the fight. Like, that scene like got me so hyped. I was like, yes.
Apparently, He got the line. I don't know if you've seen the documentary. And then they went for some pizza. And then when they came back, he forgot what the line was. And then Roger Taylor had to try and remember it.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
That's so great, but such a good movie.
Yeah. Well, my favorite song of Queen is Too Much Love Will Kill You. I don't think too many people have heard it. Yeah. Too much love will kill you if you can't make up your mind. Have you heard it? It's from the last album they released, I think.
I don't think so. I like mainly their like older stuff, so I don't think I remember that. No.
It's that and Radio Gaga.
Oh, I mean that.
Yeah. Okay. Getting back into design. just a few final questions before we wrap up. What's your definition of design?
Wow, you're killing me right now. my definition of design. I think, so design is functional, right? Because it's like when you design something, you're actually making something that has a purpose, right? So I think that would be it, you know? Like the creation with purpose would be design. Creation in the... I don't know, in the spirit of service or something along those lines, yeah.
Cool. What's your advice for designers trying to break into the freelance field?
Don't give up. That's a big one. Always fight for good work. It's because I know a lot of people do freelance and they sometimes they take clients and shitty projects just because, you know, like we all need to pay bills. Sure. You know, but do pieces that you're proud to put in your portfolio, you know, don't get lazy with it and push for that kind of like work. And the other thing, it's do passion projects. You know, you're usually going to get the best work out of things you're passionate about. So it's like, even if it's not a client and it's just a passion project that you have, or, you know, a series of posters or like a series of t-shirts or whatever it is that you want to do, that it's like a passion project, you know, like a zine, something that you're maybe helping other people, you know, of do that kind of stuff. It's important. You're usually going to get the best work out of that.
Cool. So helping others mainly.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think it's be open to feedback.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people can take. Yeah,
because I think, you know, like we make the mistake sometimes of like, you know, like we're training this, we know the best, you know, but at the same time, it's like client, we know design, client knows their field, you know, and client knows their audience better than us. We're never gonna know the audience of a client, because that's not what we do. What we do is design, you know? So it's like, we need to be open to that kind of feedback and, you know, like being able to implement that into the work. Sometimes there's always a way. If there's a will, there's a way. So
true. What's yeah. one quote that you live by apart from what you just said?
One quote that I live by. I do truly believe that everything happens for a reason. And I know that's so fucking cheesy. And I'm sorry for saying that
fine.
Word.
You're going to beat me out? No, it's fine.
Yeah? I've been trying to not curse the whole time. I've been really mindful. But yeah, things happen for a reason. You just have to trust life, you know. Sometimes we think we know what we need, but we don't until we get it. So
true.
Trust life, yeah.
I never expected to run a community for logo design. Yeah.
You're doing an amazing job.
Thank you. Well, what's in store for the future for Laura?
I'll let life take care of that for me.
Cool.
Yeah, I don't know. I just, you know, like try to deal with one thing at a time, with a day at a time. I've learned that if I start thinking too much,
mm-hmm.
you know, things outside of right now, I get stressed. And that's been like, you know, my struggle for the past years, a lot of stress. You know, it's an industry that brings stress because you're always thinking like, mm-hmm. I have to finish this. Just kind of keeping it, you know, the most immediate things right now. And so I try not to think on what's in store. I don't know what's in store, you know?
Cool. Yeah. What's the best place where people can find you and connect with you?
Instagram, my handle is at Laura Pohl, LauraPol, or at Olio's, .studio. So yeah, that's it. Olio, OLIO .studio on Instagram or Bounce if you Google me. Yeah.
Sweet. What does Olio mean? Is there a meaning behind it?
Yes. So Olio is a Spanish thing that it's kind of like a food where they grab all the stuff and they put it together. Like it's okay. Just like a mix of random stuff. So I thought that was a good name because, you know, a designer nowadays is such a Joe of all trades, you know, and it's like I am trained in not just design, but it's like art direction, creative direction. So I was like, you know, like we just bring creative solutions. So it's like, you know, an olio of creative solutions, I would say.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Cool. Well, thank you, Laura, for being a part of the podcast and chat to you soon on Instagram.
All right. Talk to you soon. Thank you so much and keep on doing your thing. Good stuff.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Creatives Radio. It would mean so much if you could take a few seconds of your time to head to Apple iTunes and leave us a review. Thanks, guys.